What's up, Fandom Night? Episode 13, Godzilla Review. Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone. Let's compare the classic, Gojira and Godzilla. Gojira was filmed in 1954, so these people actually lived through the atomic disaster. You've got to understand that their frame of mind was not to make a B-level horror movie. They took this very seriously, and a lot of the movies of the time were still dealing with the same concept, nuclear fallout and mutants and monsters and giant spiders and things like that, but in Japan, it was a little more serious because they honestly didn't know 100% how this was going to affect not just them, but the world around them, that everything was honestly changing and that the atomic age was upon us, if you will. And when they made this movie, they did it very, very seriously, which is a credit to them. The name Gojira was actually a combination between a gorilla and a whale. This has nothing to do with the monster. The truth of it is that there was a tough guy that worked for the studio or something like that, and they just happened to use his nickname, Gojira, for the monster. My biggest question has always been, did they still call him that afterwards? Like, after the movie was done, did they still walk around and call him that? Because if they did, that would be awesome. I'd love to have a nickname like that. But that's actually the only relevance in the name. The story goes like this. A couple boats are sunk, and the company that owns it, I believe it's a shipping company, can't seem to find answers. Now, I'm going to skip through this pretty quickly. Later on, some of the survivors are found, and the only thing they seem to mutter is that a monster did it. Some rumors fly around this little island saying that years ago they used to give sacrifices to a mighty god, which they referred to as Gojira. Now, Gojira is said to have been this godlike creature that as long as you sent him your sacrifices, he wasn't going to come up and do something about it. And they were worried that the reason that this is happening is because there's been no sacrifices later. We get our very first look at the creature itself during a giant storm. And in the storm, he happens to cross over the island. He might have just been looking around. It's very important to realize that he's not a bad guy, he's not a good guy, he's a monster. And he's a prehistoric type of monster. He comes up out of the water, he does a little bit of looking around, he goes back into the water. He's not actually there to spread terror, he just happens to be a creature. One of the scientists' viewpoints is that we should study him. Now, a couple scientists go to the island after the event because people are claiming that it was a monster that caused the damage, not the storm. As they look around, they seem to find that there's radioactivity all over the place. A couple of the wells have actually been infected. And atop, there's also footprints that are radiated. So now we know that something is without a doubt there. During this time, the research team is fortunate enough to actually see the monster as he comes back up on land again to look around. You see him poke his head up over a hill, he kind of roars a couple times, and then he goes back into the ocean. They now know that there is a monster. This is where we come to the origin tale, and I will tell you whether or not I believe that this origin tale still stands up today. It is believed that Godzilla, or Gojira, sorry, is a prehistoric creature from the Jurassic period that was somehow brought back to life by the H-bomb tests. I don't think this is true. I think that the story doesn't hold up. Now, what I would have went for, what I could have believed, because we don't understand all life everywhere all the time, I could have believed that maybe after, let's say, the meteorite hit our planet, maybe his species kind of went into the ocean because they were kind of in that midsection of animals, and maybe he buried himself under the ground as well as he could, along with a lot of his other race, and probably went to sleep. Now, let's say that his race, the one of the ways that they survive is the things on his back probably soak up radiation, and if he already soaks up radiation, then his body runs on radiation, which is normally provided by the sun. But now they're using all these nuclear weapons, atomic weapons, in his area, and it happens to shake the area where he had buried himself, and he had lying dormant for so long, and that wakes him up. I would have been okay with that story, because then he could have soaked all the radiation from these H-bomb tests, and it would have given him powers far beyond what he would have had in his original habitat. So I could have went for that story. As it stands, the monster story of it does not stand the test of time, I believe. Let's get back to the actual story at hand. The military decides that it is absolutely imperative that Gojira be put down immediately. Now, they try to bomb him underwater using these death charges and things like that. They believe he's dead, and they simply move on. No actual confirmation that the creature is dead. That's pretty sloppy. He then comes out in the Tokyo harbor. Now they're scared because he's definitely coming up on shore. He comes up on shore, he walks across a docking area, tears up a train. It's really scary. He looks really good in black and white. And then he moves back into the bay. Now, they're scared, but he seems to be a nocturnal creature, so they seem to be lucky here. They build this electrical fence around the entire bay, and then they evacuate everybody that they can. At this point in time, later on that night, rather, Gojira actually does come out of the water, sees this new thing, which he doesn't know what it is, and when he touches it, it electrocutes him. That makes him mad. I want to say this is supposed to be something like 300,000 volts or something. It was supposed to kill him, but he just walks right through it, and he starts tearing up the city. Now he's been hurt. They're shooting missiles at him. They're shooting mortars at him. They're dropping bombs. They're shooting machine guns. He surely feels it. It doesn't really slow him down, but he certainly is feeling it because he reacts to it. He starts blowing atomic breath and sets all of Tokyo ablaze. He's almost unstoppable. Nothing can touch this creature. And he just basically walks right through, and he's like, "Nope, no, you started it." And then he goes back, of course, into the bay. Now, a scientist develops a weapon. This was not his intention, but he did develop a weapon. The weapon that they use to destroy Gojira is incredibly powerful. It splits oxygen particles like splitting atoms. It's a lot like an atomic bomb, but it works a little bit differently. They're pretty vague on the science. Basically, he found a way that it tears the oxygen atoms, and that causes a chain reaction in a certain area, which just kills everything. Like, everything leaves nothing but bones, and it doesn't seem to affect anything except for oxygen particles and living tissue. Things like the bone and whatnot always seem to get left behind by this thing after it's used. He decides, though, that he doesn't want to be the next atom bomb creator, so he decides that if they're going to use his weapon, he's going to go down with it and die with it, and he burns all of his notes so that this weapon can never be used again, which is a bad thing, because if this creature, if there's more than one and this is the only way to kill it, well, then we only killed one. But because this was only meant to be a single movie when it first aired, they go down there, they blow up this bomb thing, they kill the creature, and it's a bittersweet ending, because you know that that scientist had to give his life, and you've been following around his fiancée, which at the time, she was kind of interested in another man anyhow, but the love triangle of it and everything, if you're willing to get involved in that part, is okay storyline. Mostly, we're just here to see Gojira. Now, the next movie is where I have my problems. For American audiences, it was renamed Godzilla, King of Monsters, which is not bad. I like the name Godzilla, and I think King of Monsters is pretty cool because it signified right off the bat that there was no other monster this severe. My problem is Raymond Burr. I believe that is his name. Yes. Raymond Burr is in this movie. And my biggest problem with watching the American movie is that it's boring. The other movie's taken very seriously, while this movie, even though it is taken seriously, William Burr is a massive problem. And the reason I say this is because, have you ever watched a movie with this guy? Dude, this is like one of the best movies you've ever seen. I'm telling you, it's great. You gotta check this movie out. You gotta watch this. Dude, watch this part. Do you get it? Dude! It's like he's indestructible. Pay attention here. Check this out. Bullets don't even seem to hurt this guy. Bullets, yes. Watch this. Man, this is the best part. This is the best part. Ooh! Check this out. Quiet. Shh, shh, shh. Watch this. Watch this. This part right here. He's prehistoric. I mean, he's like, you know, like from the, he's like a dinosaur. So like, it's hard to even fight him. That means he's really, really tall. Like, he's gotta be like 400 feet tall. Do you know how big 400 feet tall is? Do you know? Check this out. Sadly, that's what it's like to watch this movie with Raymond Burr. Basically, all he does is repeat what's happening and tell you what's going to happen and give his opinion about how amazed you should be at what's going on. And it's boring. It sucks. I fell asleep 3 times trying to watch this movie, and that's not a joke. I got through the Japanese on my laptop in 1 try. I sat down at a family cookout, turned it on, a couple other people sat around me, and we hung out. We watched the entire Godzilla movie, or Gojira, sorry, and it was an enjoyable experience. It actually was. It was neat to see where he came from and neat to see how serious they took it. But the American version only voice acts a couple people, and the rest of them, Raymond Burr just explains to you what's going on. He'll be like, they built an electric fence. Godzilla broke that fence down. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Now Tokyo has no defense. He's boring. And I don't know if it's so much his fault. It was the way that the Americans were handling the cinema. Today, we have other movies that come over here all the time. And all we simply do, things like Ip Man, we just simply voice over them the best that we can, or Death Note for that matter, and we just leave the content alone. It's fine the way it was. I consider the American Godzilla to be the first American remake. I know a lot of people count the 1998 as the first American remake, but it's simply not true. Watching these two movies is a lot like watching the Superman 2. Superman 2 has two very different versions. One by Donner and one by Lester, I believe. And they're very different. Each time you watch either one of those movies, you're watching a different movie, and it's the same here. If I have to give scores to these movies, I would actually tell you that Gojira is a 3.8. I think it's great. I think there are parts of it that don't hold up today, but that's just because it was done in 1954, and we've seen all this now before, redone over and over and over and over and over. And while I do agree that it's a classic and it's something you shouldn't miss, compared to all the other cinema out there today, I'm going to say that it's almost a 4, but it's not quite great. It's great if you're like me. I love this movie. On a personal scale, I might give this a 4.5. But as for the normal, everyday moviegoer, especially nowadays, I'm probably going to give this a 3.8. As for the American version, I'm going to give it a 2.2, and I stick firm to that. I believe that Raymond Burr's existence in this movie destroys everything good about it. So that's all I've got for my Gojira-Godzilla comparison.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomKnight.com. At FandomKnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomKnight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.